Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Four-Sided Dive, Critical Role's monthly talk show featuring a roundtable discussion about the events and characters of our current campaign, alongside a heavy helping of hijinks. Four-Sided Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/Critical Role and youtube.com/Critical Role, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. Let's dive into the chaos.
I guess if I sing Grease 2, it wouldn't get us in trouble.
I think it actually would.
I don't think anybody cares.
You just sang every other note correctly.
The algorithm is true. Cannot catch it.
I don't think anyone cares.
Yeah. I haven't seen Grease 2.
Oh,
likewise.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh, y'all are talking.
I wish. Okay. I haven't seen Grease.
I've seen Grease 1.
No, you don't. You take that back. I will make y'all watch it.
Okay. Grease 2, Grease Harder.
Fair enough. That works out well.
But
importantly,
Grease. Oh, is it time?
Boy, we're going into this now.
I would love to talk about Grease 2 forever, okay. But y'all have
right.
to roll.
Okay.
Gosh, golly.
Oh.
Pick your poisons.
We... Everyone, pick the weapon that
okay.
you will.
Okay.
I'll go with the pus yellow this
all right.
time.
We'll be right. Okay. Go for it.
Oh,
fuck me. Somebody, come on, somebody. Nope.
Nat 20.
That's you, buddy.
What a waste of a nat 20. I love it. Fucking waste.
Perfect.
Percy it's came perfect. Back, screw you.
Yeah, just stop right rolling all those high numbers, yo.
You guys asked for it, and now you're going to get it. Apparently, I am hosting this episode.
We do stand at a thing, yep. right? Okay.
Got to go do the thing.
Getting out of the way.
All right.
Have fun.
Thank you.
You're great. Oh, no. I think it's Wait, you go here. To that
oh,
one.
Oh, it's that one. Okay. It's
no been so...
This is amazing
Actually, here,
already.
I can... It's yeah. better. There it is.
Oh, hi.
This is perfect.
I didn't see you there. I was just thinking about how to welcome you to this four-sided dive. Since I am your fifth tavern keeper, how about a little math problem? U plus X equals betrayal! Solve for X, but make it sexy! Tonight, you asked for it and you asked for it. That's right, we have changed the player behind the changeling known as you, Erica Ishii, and her co-conspirator, Woo! Matthew Mercer, Motherhooker, to tell us all about how and why you did this to us. It's very confusing. Shit. Also, just because he was a nobody doesn't mean that he's not a somebody. Taliesin Jaffe is in the building, slowly dying. And rounding out our dive for tonight. It worked. I have successfully beamed my consciousness back in time to deliver a very important warning. The connection won't last long, so listen carefully. The Quokkas, they look adorable, but they're not what they seem. Don't trust them! Ashley Johnson just found out Fern's folks hate the moon, but most importantly, we're going to talk about how quokkas are the best and most trustworthy animals to ever exist. Welcome to Four-Sided Dive. Let's fucking do a show already.
Yeah!
Well done.
Welcome back. Let's begin this night's discussion with our segment, What the Fuck Is Up With That?
Yay!
Hello!
Finally, the original.
I know. Got to bring it around. I'm proud of you.
Death Wish Run. What the fuck is up with that?
Death Wish Run.
Where'd it come from? What were you thinking?
Where does
were
it come from? Where does it go?
I was working with Bashir Gauss, who was my collaborator on the world building for the Hellcatch Valley. And we were working out Bassarus as a city after we had like broken down all the different facets and sections of the city based on his like original outline. And we looked at it, and we both went, what it's missing is a death race, essentially. we need to have automatons racing each other, aggressive explosions, and deadly stakes just for the sake of the entertainment of the people that decided to live here in this hellhole. And so that was kind of where it came from. And then it was kind of fun to seed it into the information for Bassarus, for both you and FCG, for Sam, people that would know about it, and see if it ever came up. And as I was hoping, I was like, I hope it comes up, hope it comes up. And I figured with a few like mentions and like, you know, promises of the skirmish crawlers, the chaos ensued, I'm like, they'll probably wander into it.
I mean, we kind of forgot everything else when we found out that there could be, in fact, like a death wish race.
Mm. I knew I could believe in you.
Yeah.
I could trust in all of you.
Abandon
so
everything
you.
Else.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, like that's just a trap. That's a giant honeypot. There's
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to run it as much as I wanted you guys to play it. So I was just like,
that was so fun.
Yeah, you may as well give us like airship combat at this point. It's just going to be like, you know, full on.
We're only in the 30-ish episode.
Airship
range.
Combat.
I mean,
give us
time. Airship.
We've
give
kind of had an airship battle, but not with another.
But not
airship.
Like not like yeah.
Across cannons.
No, and like jumping to the other ship and like
we,
you know.
We did them. Airship combat in Escape from Bloodkeep.
We did. Yeah.
Super fun.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what we can do.
Super fun.
And there's definitely going to be the conversation about whether or not we can get our crawler on the ship, and you know, like
I look forward to these conversations.
Like a Saturday morning cartoon thing where it just comes out the back or something.
Where it's like the was it the bat cycle being dropped from the bat wing or whatever it is,
or kick coming out of the truck, whatever you need.
Yeah, just pick your reference.
I do see the I do see the Thundercats crawler every time we talk about it, though. I will admit.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. I like it. I'm glad you guys did it.
It was a fun time.
Did anybody have a favorite part? Did you have a favorite part? I don't know.
My favorite part, I think, was after all the talk with All Minds Burn, helping you out. They just threw a boulder down and didn't realize that really you were the only ones left, so it just fucked you all up.
Was that who did that?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're like, oops.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't know that you necessarily told us what that was a like, you know, go on my signal. And we're like, what's the signal? And you just wander off, and then that happens.
What's the signal?
There was no signal. That was just like, your high friends are going to help, and then they just don't.
Yeah.
They're just like,
We'll be there. An hour
and we're
late.
Like, yeah, what happened to the, oh, I guess it's over, man.
Yeah, kind of.
Oh, did I miss it?
Shit. You do okay? That's great.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, you won.
God, that was such a fun idea.
I mean,
that was Mad Max vibes all the way.
It's all the Mad Max I wanted.
Yeah.
I love those little things. I enjoyed the very beginning early skirmish where it was just lots of cars wrestling for the front.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the game rules for that were fun.
Yeah.
Did we kind of get through things easier than you anticipated, or just about the right speed?
I think a bit a little easier. I mean, here's the thing. Having FCG able to cast and be present was a big boon. So I was like, I don't know how he's going to be part of this. There's only so many space on these crawlers, so I figured he'd maybe be on more like one of the side missions or such, until you guys decided to like fucking glue him in instead of a wheel.
Yeah,
and I was like,
I didn't see that
coming. Okay.
That was psychotic.
Yeah, and I love it.
I don't even remember whose idea that was, but it was amazing.
Yeah.
But so that added, you know, his capabilities, wherever he could look out of the periphery of his vision, to the fray. So yeah, I'd say you guys, both through cleverness, capabilities, kind of rocked it, honestly, to the point where I had some of the things that I had in the back pocket as like possibilities, like the Kagaronk. I was like, well, I'm definitely bringing him out.
Oh man, the Kagaronk was so cool.
That was fun.
That was awesome.
Just a chase-based beast battle.
He was so cute.
He was very cute.
It was awesome. And the mini that I used for it was actually a Dwarven Forge Kickstarter mini that was designed by Crystal Sully, who does a lot of amazing dragon designs for us and for Wizard of the Coast. They're just amazing artists, and it was a cool little thing to include.
It was beautiful and amazingly fun.
I will say, I'm not sure who initially pitched the idea of FCG as the wheel, but it was more like hey, wouldn't that be funny? And then Dusk was like, well, there's a practical purpose to this. You should do it. And then I was like, yeah, we should do it. And I think there's a moment where I did the office look at the camera and be like, I can't believe I convinced everybody.
Wouldn't that be funny is actually code in our game for, do I have a second?
Yeah.
Do we have a second? We have a second. All right, it's going forward.
Absolutely.
Just need one more person to raise their hand. Wouldn't that be funny? Yeah, that would. Okay, we're doing it.
Oh my God.
That would be hilarious.
And, well, you guys still have a skirmish crawler, and you're riding with another one at the time of recording this. We'll see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
How fast do they go? I can't remember that.
So they are a speed 60, if I recall.
Oh, okay.
So they're twice as fast on just a general movement, but the driver, at least in the race rules, you can use your movement to move the vehicle, then your action to dash, which means you can go 120 feet around. And if you use your bonus action, that's 180 feet around. So they can cruise.
I assume that's like a nice nitro though, which is why you can't do it all the time.
Nice. Yeah.
It's intense. They're very fast. They also die horribly if that front wheel is destroyed and hurt everybody inside their driver's seat, which is fun. It never quite happened, but I was looking forward to the possibility of one of your cars.
We did have a explosive tied to us in the center of one of the
cars. Yeah, I was waiting for that. I was like, this is a very dangerous thing to have there.
Yeah. I tickle. I got Danny.
I know that look.
Or somebody got Danny.
You did.
With my super cool NASA.
With your Fast and the Furious reference.
I love the Fast and the Furious movies. I've seen every single one in the theater. Sorry, it sounded way too passionate.
Hey, never apologize for loving the stuff that you love. There's no such thing as a guilty pleasure.
I agree. I agree with you.
It's all for family.
Family.
God, the best.
Guilt makes it taste better, in my opinion. But yes.
Oh, okay, well.
All of this.
let's bring up the other problem. The other, not problem, I guess it was a problem. The other topic. And that would be you. Mm-hmm. No, you.
Me.
But yes, you too.
You too?
But you.
You too is a problem.
You
they are.
Too.
You did this on purpose.
Wait. They did.
Yes.
They
you
did.
You definitely did.
Yes? No, it's you.
Yes. So, exactly.
This is my nightmare.
At what point did y'all decide to
be assholes?
Do this to you. Yeah.
God, what a fun spin, though.
Oh, man. Matt and I started talking about this in like October or something.
That's right.
I want to say, and I said I'd been saving a changeling character. I really wanted to do a changeling. And then I talked to Ashley. We were at a bar, and Ashley was saying, I just kind of want to be bad. I want to, get, messy. And I was like, I could do that. I could give Ashley something messy to play with. And that combined with that. And then Matt asked, do you want to kill her parents?
Well, the conversation was...
Kill her parents?
I was like, so there are numerous narrative threads happening right now. And I kind of gave you a bunch of different things to choose from. And since you said you wanted to kind of lean into a fae thing, I'm like, there are some fae narrative threads in here. Mm-hmm. And I kind of explained the elements that were going on. And said, there are different ways you could engage with this, and you don't have to, but this would be an easy way to kind of directly go into the story.
And then we said, I was like, I want to do, because I asked about changelings. I was like, you guys have never done changelings before. Are there changelings? Mm-hmm. And he said, and this was before before EXU Calamity happened,
too. To the point where, when they were doing EXU Calamity, they're like, is it okay to have changelings? I'm like, Erica's already decided on one, so we're bringing them in.
then changelings, which meant fae, which meant tying it to Ashley's backstory. And then also I wanted to make it so they had to figure out that I was a changeling,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to coming in as a changeling. And then that idea of deceiving my friends mm-hmm. sort of tied in naturally to being to doing wet work for the Unseelie court.
Well, I gave you all the information for the, both the courts and then the kind of factions outside of the courts. And I was like,
what do you want to do?
What do you want to do? And like you mentioned some of the possibilities, and I was like, well, if you go this route, there are these threads to go. Yeah. And you said, like, what about Unseelie? I'm like, honestly, Unseelie fits very well with one of the narratives, but the downside to this and the challenging side to it is that likely you're going to be sent to kill her parents.
And I was like, yes.
That is an option.
Yeah. So then, and then honestly, Dusk and that whole persona came like a week maybe before the shoot happened. And I had to like throw something together because
you had to find the false identity.
I did, because I had to have different kinds of, I had a bunch of different identities sort of ready to pull, but
just
Dusk
in case
was the one that I definitely, that we leaned on. And it was, you guys, so we were playing a second game, essentially, where it was you and I knew, but the characters don't know, the cast doesn't know, and not even all of the crew knew.
Yeah.
Oh, so we, like, so there were some email threads that were, like, highly under wraps. There was art that was happening behind the back of some producers. And then I had to play, we had to play it out the entire campaign of doing it so that you guys, as well as your characters, didn't know. So in some ways, I created this sort of like silly, innocent character in the game, and also for myself while I was playing. It's like, oh, that's Erica. She's just so chaotic, and like, you know, look at her, look at her trying to seduce, scattershot seduce all of the cast members. That's so classic Erica. Pfft, I bet Erica doesn't know that elves don't sleep, you know. That's that is to be forgiven. Or like, so we had to we put in little clues along the way, but not
little breadcrumbs.
Yeah, little breadcrumbs along the way, but not tip our hand to you or the audience. Yep. Completely. And the moment that you had everybody go out to so we can have our little one-on-one, I didn't know you were going to do that, but it was perfect.
I still haven't watched it.
Go back and watch it.
I'm going to go back and watch it. I was just, you know, I wanted to like make sure it's not going to spoil anything. So no.
Yeah. Now that it's out in the open, the cards are on the table.
I think you showed me. At the end
Of
the
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you're like, wait, what happened?
Yeah, I did not suspect anything.
Not a clue.
That was one of my favorite moments of this, because we've never done a guest spot that was antagonistic before.
Yeah.
And so watching different people at the table at certain moments, like, I could watch face reactions like Travis and maybe like Liam a little bit when like certain things would be said and they'd be like, you start seeing like the itch of like, this isn't adding up, go on, but they're like not quite grasping kind of the, and then when Chetney,
cold, like, absolutely.
I can believe it, it's Travis. Yeah, like, it's as Travis. Goofy as he likes to present himself, he also like very much, him and Marisha have those like the full on Always Sunny, like, you know, Charlie Dave with the fucking board in the background. Like, they have minds that go to that level of, wait, but all these things can come together and make it happen.
Because
so,
we did. We left.
I think Travis I think Travis is the only cast member I'm aware of that actually, like, figured it
clocked
out.
It. Yeah.
Or
the rest of you are so good at keeping it under wraps.
Oh, no.
But
not a clue.
You all were, because there were so many times, too, like, during the course of my run that it was, I left things out there, and I think you guys, it was a combo, too, of this whole meta game of, like, we've known each other for years, and we played together for years, and so I would not have done, this is another thing, too, that's important to mention, is that normally in games, you want to have these discussions about lines and veils and boundaries and, like, what, you know, going in, especially as an antagonist, but I feel very grateful that we kind of knew that everybody would be, it'd be a fun surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a brief, like, you know, like, these are things that are probably like, okay.
Yeah.
I would definitely not recommend coming in as an antagonist to the rest of your party unless you really know everybody from a long time of playing together and you all know that you're here for that sort of role play, which is what we had here. Because otherwise, you want to have these conversations in advance to make sure that you don't end up ruining anybody else's time, or for you as the antagonistic character not be able to like play the element that intrigues you about this sort of story and see where it can go.
Yeah.
Even we weren't sure where it was going to go either.
We didn't know. Like, we had no idea what was going to happen or how you guys would react or if any of you would figure it out beforehand. And it could have gone so many different ways because, like, by rules as written, it's almost impossible for a level 8 character to take on a bunch of levels, like, 7 level 6 characters.
Yeah, that would have been tough.
Yeah, well, 1 versus 7. But we had a couple of things that might still remain.
Me and the play. There were a couple of items at your disposal that were intended to level the playing field if it did actually come to blows.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so there was that. And
she
could have
been a boss battle.
I could have been a boss battle.
Oh my God.
I didn't want to kill anybody's character, but. If I decided to,
you
like,
wouldn't have been the first. I gave her permission. Like, I was like, if it makes sense, go for it.
Yeah, if it happens, it happens. But like, there are so many times where I was like, oh, I could definitely get somebody off on their own and kill them and replace them. Mm. Like, thinking that could about, happen.
Yeah, thinking back on it now, like once you made that reveal, and then I was like. Going through everything.
Memento.
Yes.
Because
it all made sense.
It seemed like I was being very chaotic, but I would say about 30 to 40% of what you says is true or has some grain of truth to it, and 60 to 70% is like terrifying manipulation. Because like there's those things of like, going after Loudna or like coming on Aurum, and it's like still up in the air whether or not there's sort of genuine feelings or where that would go, but absolutely it was meant to, like, Matt, it was like the stirring the pot bit, whereas like it was crazy just pulling at different threads and playing the game too, also the meta narrative of wanting to do uncomfortable and sort of boundary pushing things as this character and for your character, finding your character's limits, but then also out of the game, making sure that you all felt comfortable and were having a good time.
I will say I felt a little called out for another game that's not on this channel. So I was like, wow, okay, turn around, I suppose. That's fair. Fine. Shit.
What was interesting, too, is a part of the meta-narrative, there were a lot of things that you were doing, that you and you mm-hmm. was doing on the side.
I love it so much.
Oh, man. Where, like, you'd be texting me, like, I'm going to go ahead and try and stealth over and listen to this conversation, or I'm going to go off and do this thing on my own, or try and pay attention to these things. And I'd be, like, texting you back, like, go ahead and make this roll, and then keeping tabs on numbers versus other people's passive scores and stuff. So, like, we were, like, and there were times where you had a whole thing going, and then... like
something else would jump in
and like knock you off. You'd be like, oh, yeah, totally, what's going on? And be like, all right, well, you got waylaid, sorry.
I'm just over here doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah. It was like a small mini chess game within the usual game.
How cool.
It was really like doing chess, like having to think multiple moves ahead and being like, what can we pull, you know, within this game, and what would the character know? What would these characters, like Chetney, it makes sense for Chetney to figure it out, you know, and after seeing all these different things.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Oh yeah.
Marisha started to figure it out too. Like, I don't know if Lana did necessarily, I'll have to ask her.
Yeah, but
like,
I'm sure Marisha.
She'd be like pacing at home and be like, there's something off about this. Is this? And I'm like, fuck!
I always like post games with Marisha because I can always tell in game when both of us are like, wait, we're onto something. And then at the end, she'll just be sitting there and then just like, okay. And then she'll go through her notes and we'll be talking just for 30. But what about? What about this? We're going to figure this out. Just doesn't.
It's my favorite thing. It's the best notes.
Yeah.
So
she takes the best.
I have a little throwaway, throwaway question here. Favorite fictional parental figure?
Like, whoa.
You have, since this is a
Gomez
show.
Gomez and Morticia Adams.
Oh, God.
That's the best choice. You won.
You won
the gate.
Yeah, you won. Fresh out the gate.
And like, Specifically the Raul Julia Gomez.
Oh, yes.
I mean, like,
yes,
Angelica 100%. Houston. Like,
is there any other? Just to counter that on the other end, I'm going to say the parents from Spy Kids.
They're great.
They're wholesome. They're wholesome. They support their children. Yeah. They don't swear. They're great.
That's a pretty good answer.
Thank you.
That's good.
Oh man,
that is such a good answer.
They're perfect.
They are perfect. They're perfect in every way.
Yeah.
So
and like they are just so horny for each other.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best. Time.
Like I look at that and I'm like. Love is real.
No, that is the perfect relationship right there.
Yeah, no,
that's what we strive for.
Of all the fictional stories that I feel affected me growing up, that relationship was like, that's what I want.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I want. All the rest, like the romance movies, I'm like, nah, fuck that shit. Give me the Adams. Give me what the Adams have. God. That's what I want.
That and a giant slide that goes to the basement.
Yes.
Yeah, that too.
Yes, of course.
I'm there for it.
Yeah. God, what a good answer.
Well, while we're talking about Adams Family, completely on topic. I still to this day think that an understanding values Joan Cusack. It was standout.
Oh fucking!
Oh my god!
Career.
She was a little bit of inspo for Fern.
Really?
The Joan Cusack and
I can see that. That's fucking great.
That's with Adam's Family Values.
I love that so much.
Yes, that was one of the first. There's like five characters that Fern is like very sort of loosely based on.
I love that.
Yes.
We'll find out as we go.
We'll find out.
Okay.
Because in the meantime,
some secrets.
Before that happens, it is time for the Tower of Inquiry.
Oh, shit. There we are. We're at this moment.
One of us pulls a block from the tower, reads the number, and Danny tells us the corresponding question and who or whom asked it. And if the Tower of Inquiry falls, there will be dire consequences for the one who ruins it. Sad, disgusting consequences.
Oh, we're getting up there, too. That thing's looking janky.
And with that in mind, Matt, you had to say something, so why don't you pull a block?
Shit!
Since you have so many opinions.
I'll be the victim.
It's fine.
All your life.
Okay. Okay. Yes! You already touched it.
No. You're not.
Is that how it works?
I was told that's how it works.
Not anymore.
No?
No.
Is that
my rules? It's my rules. You can touch what you like.
What's your rules?
My rules is you can.
It's when it moves. Like when you start moving.
Once it starts moving, then you're committed.
Once it starts moving, you're committed. Okay.
But well, like, see, what are? Do you know? Do we know what happens if it falls? Because I'm not scared of any consequences.
I genuinely don't know what the consequences of falling will be.
What is the?
Maybe we'll find out.
It is a sticky set. So it is.
That is our secret word. So,
what is this?
You have to pull from the tower next after Matt.
Sticky?
What?
All right.
Oh, wow, we have crazy lighting too.
Can I get a duck falling from the ground at least? I would like a duck coming out of the ceiling. If we're going to do this, I insist on tradition.
It's okay. At least, I'm. Oh, God. This is.
Oh, no.
This is awful.
I don't know if.
Come on, man. Just pull one so I can get it over with.
They're attached.
Maybe
hold on.
There's a reason for that.
Just pull hard the way I did that one where I just like this. Yanked it. Just yank.
Why are they so?
That's like the way like to do it. You
like
just have to pull real hard.
Together.
I can't make you suffer anymore.
They're glued.
We might have glued it together.
Oh, you
might
have.
Oh my god!
You sons of bitches!
Games within games. Within games.
Well done. Well done. I was like,
an inception of trust.
I feel like such an asshole right now.
What have I done?
Well done. Well done.
This trust has been broken.
The rank betrayal.
Oh, wow. Is this like a careful curve?
Does Matt have to pull first or do I have
this
to pull?
One's not sticky. First things we, sorry, this is a process now. We have to get 8 out of these.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask for both of y'all to come up.
All right.
And pull 8.
8, okay.
And then we'll go from there.
All right, there's 1, 2, 3.
Four.
Perfect.
This way.
Then.
Gonna make it as thin at the bottom, aren't you?
We might topple it while setting it up.
That would be extremely on brand, and I'm here for it.
Perfect.
Was this a 6?
This is a 6. I have concerns about choices that have been made. There you go.
6.
right.
Two more.
Oh, nah.
Oh no!
That's a... I'm gonna step away because I'm scared.
Seven.
Oh boy.
So is this my official poll?
No, this is the eighth one.
No, this is number eight.
And then it's my poll.
Then it's Matt, and then it's you.
Because
this is how many polls
this is not gonna last. Y'all screwed yourselves.
These ones that were already on here.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Oh wow, you're.
I'm seeing what's going on here.
And a comment.
There are some options. A little higher. You can pull up high if you want.
That's true. That's true.
Don't feel limited.
All right.
How am I helping you?
Because you're
eight.
You.
Okay.
Now it's my turn.
And now, now the game.
Oh, so this is the first question. Correct. Yeah, now, all right. Well, I'm going to go sit down then.
Oh man.
It's one hand, right? Usually.
Sure.
So the fun is just making sure that in future episodes it's somebody's already ruined.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, that's because we had pulled eight before in previous episodes.
Oh, sure.
So. Hey.
Oh, you. All right,
wow.
Number 51.
51? All right. So, number 51.
Yes?
How much of your backstory do you like to write, and how much mystery do you leave for the DM to fill in? From Paige Hellbaum.
Thank you, Paige. I give a lot of my backstory to the DM. Pretty much all of it.
I'll start.
Okay, yeah, you go.
I try. This is actually the first character where I didn't do that. I try to only give backstory from the perspective of my character. Mm-hmm. So anything I write is just what my character knows and what my character thinks. It doesn't have to be true. It's just their perspective on everything, and then just leave the rest to the dungeon master. Like if I don't know like the motivations of somebody who messed with my family, I don't know them.
Yeah,
I don't know what the hell happened. This is the first one where I had a little bit of a build that's just a little bit beyond my character's understanding, just because it was kind of complicated, and I wanted to, I had something a little specific in mind. So I wanted to make sure that I kind of locked in a few options of like, it's going to have to go this way. So I think. I know, you work hard at just subverting everything.
It's important to find.
Now that they know what you're capable of in terms of deception, I don't know how much they're going to trust you for the rest of this
campaign. They never
trusted
me.
No.
No.
To begin with.
Really?
Well, no. Let's be fair. It is a combination of absolute trust
yes.
and continuous teetering mistrust. And that is why
yeah.
I like it.
I mean, and that's the thing. It's like, if you have a very clearly defined set of boundaries, you can do whatever the hell you want within yeah. them.
They know
sandbox
I'll,
game.
They know I'll never do anything to harm them, to traumatize them, to rob them of agency.
Yeah.
But I will fuck with their expectations and twist things to make it interesting and fun for them based on what I know about them. And that just comes with experience of knowing these people, of loving them and playing with them for so long. It takes time to earn that sort of trust and understanding, so you can't expect it at the beginning of a table by any means. That's where like lines and mails conversations come in really handy. But yeah, that's where I like the fuck.
From some perspectives, a surprise birthday party is a kind of betrayal if you think about it.
I think about that constantly.
Yeah.
Like all of my nearest and dearest got together and kept the secret from me and schemed and produced things and... You know, that could have been an assassination attempt, and I would have had no idea.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of true.
Yeah. Are you going to plan a surprise party for me?
No, it was going to be an assassination attempt, but if it's a party you want, I'm like... All right. Am I... thank you, Paige Hellbaum.
Do we all answer the question, or is it just for... We all answer the question.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Well,
yeah,
no.
Take a stab.
Gosh, you.
No, not me.
You.
Me?
You.
I feel like...
You know what you did.
I don't make... A very detailed backstory. Like, in the past, I have not made super detailed backstories. Like, I feel like yours, I see pages and pages and pages.
It's a good solid 2 pages, you know, depending on the... But, like, you know, text.
Yeah, I don't do a lot because I think I have ideas for things. There's even some stuff that I've been thinking about for Fern that... For later that I'm sort of tinkering with that I will eventually talk to Matt about.
Which is a cool note, just to jump in real fast. Like, your character can continue to evolve and percolate throughout a story.
Yes.
It doesn't have to be, like, all written before session zero and then it's immutable. Like, it's a conversation as you go.
It is, and I feel like Sam, most recently when we were doing Campaign 3, he was, like, writing stuff down and he was like, you know, I'm going to give Matt some new stuff. I was like, he was like, oh, yeah. He's like, I always add to my backstory. And I was like, wait, what? It's not set in stone, like just right from the beginning, and then I don't know.
For a lot of people, it is, and they like it that way. But as long as it's not radically altering your character or contradicting things you've already established, there's no reason to not continue to explore what nuance inspires you as you go.
Yeah, I mean, it's all collaborative storytelling. That it is. And for me, it depends on the campaign, because other campaigns I'm in are like. I've said this before, but playing D&D in a live stream or on camera is like you have to be both an actor, an improviser, a writer, and a producer. Because like I have usually a set number of episodes that I'm contracted for. And in that time, I have to come through with a whole arc, a whole backstory, and like drop all of the things right at the right time and still interact with and improvise along with everybody else in the campaign. So most of the time, I will write out everything, you know? Mm. I just have to have everything. Like for this one, I gave you quite a lot. We left it open-ended in terms of how we would react to things, but in terms of backstory, we had it all pretty much nailed down both for you and for Dusk.
Which we had to specifically for the purposes of this story because it's a very challenge. What you attempted to do with this character is a very difficult thing.
Yeah.
And so it required a little bit of that like preparation.
Right. And so the whole, I always do love the trope of like born sexy yesterday, you know, with like, you know, like Lulu. In Fifth Element or any of the like sweet innocent little babies that have no idea how to live in this world. I'm just a baby.
Help me.
And one question that you did have that I can't answer. Well, I don't know. Should I? Because like I don't know if.
No, if it's an I don't know, then you hold off.
Well, yeah.
If it's an I don't know, you hold off.
That's true. But I will say that the whole concept behind Dusk was, and. In some ways, the character that I played as me, the player, is like, get somebody to underestimate you. If you put yourself in a position in which people are like, oh, they're just a little baby, they will absolutely not see it coming.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of undermining people.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. 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 I keep interrupting you.
No, it's good.
Oh my God.
It's good. No, you know, keep talking.
We're here to talk about this shit. Talk about it.
Dare you talk.
Get it out, girl. Come on. Come on.
Yeah.
I also feel like for me, so much of the, I like having not a very detailed backstory because there's still so much of the game. I like to be surprised. That's the game for me.
Yeah.
So I know because we're obviously doing this in front of an audience now and we're streaming it, so there's a certain element of like, okay, you have to see where your character's going, but I love Matt's storytelling, obviously. I think we all really like what he does. So it's so fun sitting at the table and just being like, yes, and just Matt and I looking at each other being like, we're completely making up the story together right now, and I'm just yesing and just seeing what shit comes out.
And Fern is so ephemeral, it's not like you can't just like at any time going, oh yeah, that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah.
I forgot. It really wasn't that interesting. It's just like, keep going.
And can I,
all right,
can I express, like Ashley, we had you for as much as we could get for Vox Machina, and Pike was such a wonderful heart for that story, and I'm excited that we get to develop her more in other facets because we didn't have you for as much time as we wanted to really kind of give her what she was due. And then with Yasha, when we finally did get you back, we got to kind of really dive into that story and those relationships. And as we got there, it was a very, you know, tragic and in some ways introverted character. That part of her story was coming out of her shell, and the way that you were finally getting
it was
to, like,
totally lining up with where I was in life too. So
watching you come to—I've said it before.
Yeah.
Watching you be unleashed as Fern, like, and I'll say it again, and it continues to just add on to itself is one of my favorite joys of this campaign.
Oh,
those moments of I don't know what the fuck you're doing, but we're going to follow him and see what happens is the best.
I feel like we're all, you and I sometimes will be on like a tightrope and we're like, I don't know where we're going to go.
Yep.
You move and then I'll go with you. It's really fun. This has been such a, I've said this before, of like a character to play, especially after these past few years of just being dreadful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just being just kind of light and fluffy, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm finally done.
No, it's okay.
You had something to say, and you.
To be fair, we also interrupting you, like so. You gotta finish it.
That's how conversations are.
And if you have a hot and ready evergreen question for our brand new, totally not sticky yet Tower of Inquiry, you can enter it at critroll.com/tower! !
Woohoo!
Tower.
I have to
do one.
Yeah. The tower. He points to his own device.
Now it's your turn.
Yeah, because he gets the
pull. You now pull. Okay.
Yeah.
Because he said the secret word.
Oh, he said sticky.
Said sticky.
Yeah.
A very well-oiled machine is our brand. This set here. What are you gonna do? I believe
this
in you, Allison.
Not glued. I promise.
I believe you. He has backed me into a corner here.
Yeah, buddy. I love
you. You helped set this up.
It's true.
It's not my fault that I take a challenge.
Look at it.
Hey. 19!
19!
What is 19?
Oh, I love this question.
Ooh! Okay, here we go.
I love all of the questions. Let me make that very clear. Mm. If Kiri spent a day with your character, what phrase would she pick up and mimic? This is from Faye.
Ooh. Fuck, fuck, shit, yeah. Fucking
there
fuck,
it is.
Fuck, shit.
Yeah,
fuck.
That's true.
Don't touch me. That one's easy.
Oh, God. Maybe, like, I was just lying. Or, like,
that's good.
I don't know. God, what would...
Don't you fucking touch my shit. That would be, yeah, there would be a few. That's a good one. That's useful. You can use that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you fucking touch my shit.
Entirely.
I'm like, how are you feeling? Don't you fucking touch my shit. It just means it's practically the word Smurf. You can use it for anything.
Yeah. I feel like...
You have two options, so...
Man, because it's fun, too. Under normal circumstances, I think Dusk is probably one of the longer cons for you. I feel like, because I can truly... You is... Can truly be anything.
Mm-hmm.
And they are, so there's no real, heck, there's no even real set voice, really. That's
very Skrull.
Fun, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Is there a particular phrase within Dusk's skin that you think would be helpful for Kiri to pick up on?
No, I think that's the thing, is it's
nothing to grab onto.
Yeah, there's nothing to grab onto.
To keep it.
Yeah, which is like the fun thing, because I really wanted to play a changeling, because it's, in a lot of ways, just representative of the things that I always want to be, just like a fully fluid experience. Be anything, do anything, say anything. But then the flip side of that is you can be anything that other people want you to be. Too, for better or worse. Well, that's like a scary.
I just had a stupid party trick idea.
Okay.
You could have a changeling pretend to be Kiri, and then they like that would be the trick is trying to remember only the phrases that they already had and not fuck up.
Right.
That would be a lot of fun, because then it would just be if you just slip once or twice, like just hope no one notices and.
Getting a nosebleed, trying to conjecture.
Right?
Math behind that.
That would drive me insane.
Man. As far as NPCs go, we haven't spent too much time with Captain Zandis. I don't have a quote there.
But no.
Probably Eshtaras.
Yeah.
In Drusar. Be like, the cookies are ready.
Yes.
I love that you've made a baker.
I don't know where that came from.
I don't know either, but it's
it made sense. Like as the more
was
you got
that in the moment.
Yeah, because like he is a deeply paranoid, weathered warrior who has seen and been through some shit, and is, you know, holed up in his estate for the purposes of keeping himself safe while he sends out his network of, you know, information gatherers and such to stay on the beat of trying to be a force for good in society. And in the middle of this, like, stocky kind of older Bruce Wayne type figure that he emerged to be, it made sense for in his soft core to have a hobby, and baking is just a hope. It's like he gets to host so rarely because so few people come within his spectrum of trust that, like, I imagine he'd be excited to be able to host, and so the baking thing kind of came out naturally just as that was evolving. And
full of him.
It's just that never quite getting to the great Craghammer cooking baking show.
Yeah. I know.
It's just rough. Thank you, Faye. Remember, submit your evergreen cues to critroll.com/tower! Exclamation point. This brings us to the next phase of our four-sided dive. The deep dive.
Ooh.
Danny, what's on the menu for today? I don't know why I'm talking that way.
I like it.
I don't either.
Okay. Yeah. That's
your thing.
Oh, it's time.
Oh, yes. We get caught.
Muggies.
Your here's your wonderful guest mug. You're going to be able to add your little drawing to that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God. Your mugs are so cool.
It's mugging for the camera.
So cute. So cute.
We're going to take turns pulling questions from our tankards, and since I'm Tavern Keeper, I'll be kicking this off. Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you, camera, for telling me that. I'm just a puppet. They pull my strings. I have no free will here.
Puppet.
Help. Here we are.
What's your question, Talisman?
My question is, with Ashton learning more about their memories and the night they fell, how does he feel about not having found any nobodies yet? It's been a little busy. There hasn't been a lot of time for stuff, and I will admit there's like stuff that I keep like, okay, there's no time for that right now, so I'm putting off a few things and a few conversations, which will be coming up soon. Honestly, he hasn't even really gotten to that point yet. There's still so much brewing and going around that hasn't been processed that looking up their old friends and seeing what happened hasn't really kicked in yet. There's a whole bunch of stuff that you gave me in the museum that's still kind of kicking around, and I'm hoping to have a conversation about somebody.
We'll see if any of that ever comes to fruition.
That really threw me. So that'll be exciting, and that requires a conversation with a couple players that has not happened yet because we've been doing some shit.
Well, but next time you're traveling abroad or have a beat, and Ashton's feeling it,
yeah. Yeah, and God only knows where the rest of them are, but yeah, now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that's something, somebody, a couple people who might know what the fuck happened. Which would be cool. That'd be cool. Are we going...
Is it clockwise? Counterclockwise?
Clockwise.
Oh,
that would mean you.
That would mean you, me.
Sir.
Okay, I'll pull in.
Right.
See what the question has here.
All right. You revealed, me, I revealed that FCG is an automaton and that Dancer is alive. Can you tell us a little bit about both of those reveals? How much did Sam already know, and what did you keep secret? With Sam, when he decided he wanted to be an automaton for this campaign, the aspect of it being specifically AOR-related and kind of tied to those elements, I think he mentioned it in passing before he finished campaign 2 and then never came back around to it, and it's in the back of my head. I just kind of kept that thread as something that might reveal itself down the road.
I feel like he was obsessed with Devexian.
He was.
When we all were like, dude, who's this hot robot?
Yeah. I think I mentioned after that session to you guys, I'm like, well, shit, you just unlocked, you know, automatons as a race in Exandria, essentially. And so for me, it was waiting. I wondered if he remembered having that conversation about wanting to play one of those before, like long before FCG was a full twinkle in his eye. But I was kind of held onto that thread and then was just waiting for the right moment for it to reveal, for him to run into somebody who had a history with enough automatons and their general history to be able to acknowledge which parts of that were. He didn't know much about that unless he'd like played coy, which Sam always does.
Yes.
As far as Dancer being alive, He left a lot into his backstory kind of open. And so I think he was, and he was, he'd say stuff like, here's my stuff, but like, mess with it all you want and, you know, change it. This is just my, similar way, this is just my character's perspective and I don't want to know, and just kind of, you know, take it from there. And so I think the dancer reveal was a little bit of a surprise as well.
We had a session zero. There was clearly things had gone down, which I find, like, yeah, we were there. We saw it. So.
Yeah. And
interesting.
And oh, you very much saw some shit.
We saw some shit. Like, yeah, the cameras weren't there, but we, like, Sam and I saw some shit when that happened.
Yeah. So, it was a fun tethered reveal that I was just wondering when the moments would arrive. Because both of your characters had such a strong backstory tied into the Hellcatch Valley, once we began to head this direction, I was like, okay, I wonder when we're going to start running into old, familiar spaces.
Opposite ends of that spectrum, let me tell
you,
like, of what happens in that town.
Yeah, and even then, you guys have been kind of, you know, oriented around specific goals and running around some spaces, but there's still a lot that hasn't been explored, and, you know, I figure... I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes from here next time you guys swing back around.
The All Burns Mine thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's going back a little bit, but that was so cool.
Yeah.
Like the
I'm
hive
very
mind.
Curious. Yeah, the hive mind burn, thing. Yeah. I'm very curious with that.
Yeah.
I want to know more.
You should go talk to them or something.
Oh, should I?
I don't know. That's how you figure it out. I'm not going to tell you.
Rewind.
Right?
Play
the game. Roll some dice.
Thank you for reminding me. I have a personal question to ask you when we're not on camera about things in the city.
Well, now you gotta ask.
No, not here. This is going to be a surprise for everybody. I just want them to know that I'm doing it because, you know, that's how the magic happens.
Come talk to me, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime.
You're up. What you got, Eric?
What you got?
What do I got? Let's see. What do I got? Chetney caught on to Yu's secrets early. Mm. What went through your head as he laid out your plan? What did you say in the whispered insight check?
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually curious about that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, everyone probably said, I told, when he clocked me, when I was made, I could tell that he was still sort of guessing, because he wasn't like showing his work,
kind of dancing
so to
around
say,
it.
You know? And it makes sense for Chetney to have figured it out, and also makes sense for Travis to have figured it out. But I wasn't going to give up the ghost that easy.
Yeah.
I still, so that's why we had this, you know, the insight roll off. I whispered in his ear that I'm totally going to kill her parents. I'm absolutely going to murder them, I think is the exact word.
He played it so cool. Yeah.
I can see Travis just going, cool, and then just sitting back down.
Pretty much.
Like, well, all right.
And, like, the thing is that, you know, I feel like we knew it was kind of because you had said, oh, we're going to possibly go meet Fern's parents, you know, at the end of today. And so I was like, the jig is up. We got to do it. And so that's why I started dropping things like, really rapid pace, like the lay on hands reveal, which is fine, but everybody had seen my
so
character card. There were so many hints.
And just like
cards that, like, yeah, it's if you go back and watch it, there were plenty of things that I said that are technically true, but when sort of twisted another way, could be something.
Somebody has probably gone through and marked everything just to make life more.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, probably.
Thank you.
Please, people who help with the wiki, please. I told him, and it was kind of a gamble. And then immediately going and crying to Fern to control the narrative is such a dick move.
But
for us to do, be like, he said he was gonna kill your parents.
And also, oh no!
I know just you're like, the what the funny response was? You're like, oh, he's probably just joking. It's we joke like
that's just how we have fun with each other. Oh God!
I was down to kill parents. I'm sad that.
But that's the thing, and I'm curious about what everybody else thought about it. You know, when they heard that, and was it like, oh, what a weird stab in the dark for Chetney to do, or
yeah, it was he, like I was I mean, a little like, bit like
he says shit like that all the time, so I was kind of like, yeah, he's just being weird.
Yeah, kind of boy cried wolf type scenario.
Yeah.
Well, and I sort of like. Well, you built in a bunch of those scenarios. So, like, if the different people, like, threw off Imogen by, you know, buddying up with Loudna. And so even you were like, oh, are you jealous, you know?
Yeah, just trying to figure that out.
Trying to figure that out, sort of a thing. And if, like, she'd said, like, oh, Dusk is bad news, it could always be played off of as, like, she's never liked me, sort
yeah.
of a deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I, and God, then, when Chetney know. Brought that up, I was like, huh. That's right. We didn't question any of that.
It's true. I got away with so much of it, and I was uniquely positioned to do so as a guest and as somebody who is known and played with you guys for so long, I think, just because yeah. there's a lot of stuff that I did that if any other guest had done it or if an NPC had done it, you would have nailed my ass.
Well, yeah. NPCs yeah. definitely.
Just NPCs definitely.
We've learned yes. to be mistrustful.
Right, but... Yeah.
Sorry.
Never guess.
No, I mean, like...
Now we trust no one.
But you never had a guest. I think almost all of your guests have been, mm-hmm. like, sweet angel babies, you know? With the exception, like, Joe was like, I'm evil, and you guys were like, great, right. cool, yeah. absolutely.
But you knew it up front.
Put it up front, you know?
And should we have an aligned goal yeah. know, type of scenario? At that point, the stakes are so high that it's like, individual morality doesn't matter. We need to work together to make the greater good happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this was the first real, like, yes to deception.
Yeah.
We had some bent ones, but no one did a full U-turn.
Yeah. And that's...
All right, Mary Elizabeth was a little bent, but only a little. Yeah, a little
bit. Yeah.
Delve into the mushroom cup.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what does Fern think about the revelation that Maury wrote the postcards and is not actually her blood-related grandmother? Okay, so...
she had so much dumb time.
I know. Oh, wow, this is so much information. I think that in EXU, when Abrea so beautifully, when we met, you know, another version of Fern. And this other version of Fern said that the postcards were from Grandma Maury. So I think Fern has always sort of had that in the back of her mind, but it's the only thing that she has a connection to her parents. So she's still holding on to hope that maybe that's not true, and also like likes to show it off. That like, oh, look how, you know, my parents thought about me so much and sent me things. So I don't know why I just put that back in there.
I'm about to say that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah. And as for not being blood related, I'm excited to see how that pans out, because that's very possible, and to see how everybody ties in together. Again, that part of the backstory, I was like, here's some ideas.
Well, thankfully, Faye shit isn't, you know, too tangled. It's usually pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Yes. But we have.
On the surface.
We have a little bit more up our sleeves.
Okay, see, it's what you get. we say what we mean.
Exactly.
We mean what we say.
Mm-hmm. yeah, but we've got a little more to tinker with and play with and with that. So. Yeah. Okay.
Are we still going?
I'm all done.
Still going. Pull questions.
Still all right. Another question.
I had stuff planned for you.
I know. I was aware. I was really sad. I could tell.
We could still. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
See what it is.
Just kill him in his sleep and then leave the story. Just to piss off Taliesin.
Taliesin, roll another character.
I'm starting to build one just in case. I don't think I'm not.
It's not a bad idea. For all of you.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
What is it like showing Bell's Hells around Bosserus? Does it compare at all to Percy showing Vox Machina around Whitestone? It is a very different experience because I made Whitestone on a certain level. I kind of created the vibration of it, the style of it, and kind of that was a little bit of my own creation. I've had a hand in evolving it to where it is now. Whereas Bosserus was just like, all I knew was it was the shithole I came from. of like, this is the shithole where you grew up. Clearly there had to be some good shit, but it was mostly you left for reasons. In my head, it was kind of, and apologies to anybody who this might cross. I don't really mean it this way. It was kind of Milwaukee, which is, I say with love. which I've been.
Don't
I've
take
been
this the wrong way, but specifically screw Milwaukee.
Well, no, I mean, like,
okay, I'm kidding.
Milwaukee
I'm
is clearly
place
like
in particular.
Yeah, it's you know, it's got the you know, it's got some other like heavy Mad Max vibes, but it is like that place where you're like, I don't really want to go back. Everything was kind of shitty, and you get there and you're like, guys, there's these four bars that are really fucking good.
Yeah.
And like you just have that moment of it's like getting into the shower where like, I don't want to get wet. Okay, now I'm wet. This is nice. I don't want to get out.
right.
So
that's a good way to put it. I love
yeah,
that.
No, it was just that. Like, I cannot believe I'm fucking going back to this place. I cannot believe I have this old friend who used to sell drugs. I bet she's doing real well. Hold on. Yeah, like
dude,
we're gonna go ride cars.
Allison, your description of and like the way that Ashton interacts with your friend with Justy, I was like, Allison absolutely described former friends of his.
Every single person who Ashton has in contact with that I have created is based off of someone I know.
Like, I know very who specifically. Some of them are.
Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Yeah, there are people who are not hard to peg down, but there are a few who are like. Mm-hmm. There are a few that were before your time, any of you.
So. Uncanny.
But yeah,
back
that was...
in the aughts of...
yeah.
1800s, I
don't
know. 1649.
It was,
back when he was a wee... 1658. Down the streets of Santa Monica.
Cromwell was a... yeah, okay. But I think actually the dates line up on that one. Anyway. Yeah, so it's interesting because I did get that big packet of stuff before we got there. You're like, here's everything. Tell me if you want to add anything. Mm-hmm. And I did. And I was like, who do you know? And I was like, here's a list of names of people I might know. And I gave you I have a list of names of interesting people that Ashton might know in any one place. And I try and avoid the most ridiculous of them because I know you'll feel, because I went real Dickensian on some of these names.
Yeah, you did.
So I was trying to
The good news is a lot of them were part of the Nobodies. A lot of them scattered to wherever ends they needed to after a botched job.
There's a few that I will never use because they're just too ridiculous for Exandria. So
you say that.
Yeah, that's why I'm not saying them out loud. It's just in case. I'm like,
yeah, learn from my mistakes.
We've gotten to this. We've gotten to these names. Well, they're just, it's like, I mean, like.
Mick some, Hunt? What was that? Yeah, yeah, that was
oops.
You can ship your pants.
Nearly 8 years
in. I can ship my pants right now.
I love that commercial.
I literally just last night was like, speaking of those types of names, Brian was watching Better Call Saul, and I was like, Saul Goodman. Oh! After all these years.
Wow, I just got it. Oh my God.
Wait, did you just get it too?
I just got it.
Oh, thank God.
Really? Shit.
That's awesome.
I just, it didn't register. And Brian paused it. He was like, are you serious?
I feel like I just got hit by a boomerang.
Yeah, okay. Right? Oh my God, I'm so glad. So glad. Oh, I can't wait to tell him it's
I love it.
I've never said it out loud before. No, I was like,
yeah.
All right,
I was like,
all right.
Bing.
Let's see. You're there.
My gut.
When there you say it out loud. When you say it out loud, you know.
There have been a lot of strange coincidences surrounding Bell's Hells and their connections to each other. Is fate a theme in this game, or are there other in-game reasons for those coincidences that will be revealed in time?
Coincidences. I get that in there.
I'm making another question. It's like, how do I answer this?
Watch our campaign.
I mean, it's possible. I have a lot of themes running around. There are a lot of facets in this campaign that are based around coincidences. There are some that are elements of unique fate, and you're not sure which is which. Those might be revealed or disproven with time. I'm excited there are facets of this campaign that have been brewing since campaign one, and I've been waiting for this campaign for a long time.
Patterns arise from chaos, is what he's saying.
Yes. Yes.
Chaos can disguise patterns.
I'll give another quick question because I couldn't really answer that one succinctly.
There's so many questions you can't answer, Matt.
I know.
I'm
sorry. I'm trying.
I'm sorry. No. I'm trying.
Just have one word
this
answer.
Is my
yes.
Walking.
Maybe.
That's real great.
Sounds so much like you.
I love it. Wow. That's your nice character. That's your backup character.
Is he doing
I really
okay?
Just want to do a stand-up show that's just all of my impressions that are awful.
Well, now I'm worried. Is Crystal walking all right?
What else do you got?
Yeah.
Do you I don't know, guys. We'll see. They all sound exactly the same.
That's a pretty good Elvis you got there.
I love
Give
it.
Me your Richard Nixon. I'm not a crook.
It's pretty great. I'm front row. Like I'm going to the meet and greet after. It's going to be great.
I want to Michael Fassbender. Well,
that's pretty good. That was pretty good.
Shame is a great movie. Anyway.
I got it. Yeah.
Sorry.
The Calloways are a little more morally ambiguous than Fern's recollection might have made them to seem. Thieves and working with Lyra. What inspired the characterization? How is it getting to reveal Birdie? It was really fun to reveal Birdie.
That was so fun.
A lot of like long lead up into that and kind of, you know, playing with the mystery, the memory of your parents. As far as like their morally ambiguousness, look at Fern. Like, I mean, like to a certain extent, very much chip off the old block to a certain
absolutely
point. Very, and you still don't know a lot about Birdie, but there is definitely an element of, well, I am a creature of impulse, and if something gets in my way, I move around it like water to a rock. Morals? So I'm excited for us to explore more of what that meant, what they've been up to, and kind of what their relationship is picking up on. As there are some unique discrepancies between a few aspects of your history and their understanding.
Just a few.
Just a few. So I'm excited for that. The inspiration from characterization, I mean, part of my characterization for Birdie is based off of what you've established for Fern, because now when you know, me having to create the parents of facets of your character, you start considering, like, what things would you, especially since you only had like youthful memories of them, might have led to threads of it, kind of like mannerisms, you know, if not the voice, which is probably, I assumed Fern's like presentational persona is probably a little more pulled from Maury than anybody, because you spent the most time with her.
Yes.
But there is still like a little bit of memory lineage between the parents. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to develop Birdie, and I'm excited to see more of those interactions as you're now, you know, screaming off into the desert to see where all this leads.
Yes. You were telling me that you didn't really anticipate the group doubting Birdie as much as they did.
No! No, I did not!
Yes, I wonder why they did that.
Because you fucking messed with their minds! It was awesome!
That was a room full of people with like parental issues. I mean,
they'd definitely be like,
well, we know we're going to not all agree to knock out this one, so let's do that one first, because then we can all agree to knock out the other one. Mm-hmm. It was
a combination of the right setup of mistrust, the lack of aggression. Like honestly, with how we had set things up and the, especially the conversation that you had with some of the Unseelie members and like kind of the element there, I was like, this is going to be a tense encounter when it eventually hits that point. And so I expected and anticipated a number of different directions of it and made sure that we had conversations once things have been revealed, have been like, we're all on the same page to follow this wherever it goes, no matter how violent or intense or weird it gets, we're all cool. And if anyone gets uncomfortable, like, you know, let anyone know.
Yeah. Old next guard, yeah.
Exactly. We had that before that last session. And so all that talk and you wanting to push for that, I was like, oh man, Erica's going to go all in on this. Yeah. And this might be a very intense, you know, violent act. And then you turned it on me to a point. and whereas Birdie, from her point, Birdie, this is not the first Unseelie individual that she's encountered and knows exactly, she has all the context that you do not and is acting out of the need to survive, which the way that you set it up and the rest of the characters, especially with what Imogen picked up by reading her thoughts initially and seeing a flash of Ira in her mind, set her, you know, as Travis goes, woo, alarms off.
She really came out looking bad with Dust not fighting back and with, you know, all of the information that she'd been withholding.
I would have been content to knock everybody out and then figure it out later.
It's honestly very Ashen of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very Ashen.
Because it's like, I could have definitely, and there's still a lot of my spells and stats and items even that haven't been revealed that I kept in reserve because I decided to go with like pull on all the different threads that I'd set up throughout the entire run.
That's the one sad thing is we've never actually had the opportunity to knock a guest unconscious and take
I know.
Shit. And I was really excited to take all your shit.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had conversations when she was like equipping her character. I was like, based on where this is going, I cannot give you anything that I do not want the party to eventually have.
Exactly.
So there's definitely a balanced conversation. She's like, can I have this? I'm like, No, we'll find a lesser version of that just in case they kill you and take your shit. I really don't want them to have this.
Yeah.
Not yet.
So we're running a bit long.
Sorry.
So we'll add our leftover tankard question to our game after the break. For now, it's time to pull another question from... Drumroll.
From where?
The Tower of Inquiry!
Oh, shit! Oh,
who's pulling it now?
I feel like it's you because I think
okay.
If there's one more pull, there's one more pull after this, right?
I'll do it.
I believe in you, Ashley.
Okay, I think there's one more pull left.
You can knock it over.
So I want to make sure
you
get the
one. I want to make sure you get the worst one.
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
I think it's only fair.
Yes. You know my history.
I do. I'm just trying to give you what you want.
That's true.
You always know what I want.
What you got? Oh, look at that discerning eye.
I'm so sorry for what we've handed you.
I'm not.
All right, and as she goes in, she's looking over the top of the tower. You can see she's twiddling her fingers, which is a technique of gripping the exterior.
Oh, center corner, bold move.
It's tweaking a bit on its axis, doesn't look too great. You can see in her face, there's a little bit of a apprehension for the choice she's going to make, but she's going to the left side.
Apprehension
now,
is totally justified.
Because if we look at how Ashley has acted in previous Jenga games, she's definitely not one to just be poking and prodding. She'll go for it. But right now, it seems like she's playing it safe.
Oh, she's doing
a one hand pull.
She's whistling in and out. This is a way to keep her calm.
Oh, you got
to
keep breathing. You need proper oxygen.
Oh,
okay.
And the wiggles are in. Wiggles are in.
Danny, look out just in case. I think she's gonna.
She's got it. She's on the right. Oh,
you got this. You got this. There.
Oh, that's how it's done.
Is this a 20?
That's how it's done.
A natural 20.
Ooh.
Respect on that.
That is how it's done. I'm so proud.
And the flowers are still standing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stepping away.
No, that was such a win. That was such a win.
I'm so glad we got to do this. That was awesome.
That was great.
What facet of your character would annoy you the most if you got stuck living with them as freshman college roommate?
Oh God.
Grief.
From Heliophage.
Thank you, Heliophage.
What a great question.
Oh man, everything.
I mean, everybody's had a roommate who's stolen their shit.
I was gonna say.
God, it's just...
Where did you put the...
Yeah.
Oh, is that yours?
I hadn't put it together. This is like, Ashton's almost an amalgamation of every terrible roommate I've ever had. Or at least just the worst parts of every roommate. I've had
Except for that one.
Oh, we don't count that one. That one doesn't count. They've been erased from memory. But yeah, all of like even the good ones, just the little bits of like, why are you awake at this hour? And why did you decide that this is the hour to turn on the stereo? Really, did you need it? I'm aware that you're drunk, and I'm aware that you've had a bunch of coffee, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm aware you don't have to work in the morning, but I do. Can you just please take it to the fucking basement? Okay.
There's some leftover pent-up aggression there.
They moved away, and I haven't had time to, like, actually, yeah. So well. I love them, but there's definitely some stuff that has to be said.
Ashley.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it would be the things going missing constantly or things just... And, you know, with Fern, it's the weird shit. Fern doesn't take anything that's necessarily expensive. It's just literally so much of the stuff, because I think it's so funny that in Little Mermaid, she would brush her hair with a fork. And always since I was a kid, I was like, oh my God, this is so funny.
A dinkle hopper.
So Fern just keeps things just stupid shit that you're like, where are my salt and pepper shakers? I had them. Yeah.
You don't want those back.
Oh, I don't. I thought those you were throwing them away.
Just left them on the table.
Yeah, you just left them out.
I don't
know. What do you think?
I mean, as somebody who has had a housemate who gaslit them, I would say it's that.
That's not
yeah,
like.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Like you... Dusk would be, if it were just purely dusk, it's, dusk is a lot, and just would like be like smashing things all over by accident, but like you is truly terrifying, because like,
that was such a change.
You wouldn't even know that they were like manipulating you, or that they hadn't maybe paid rent in a couple of months or something, because it's just, Yeah, you would be the worst roommate ever because you don't even know if you're gonna, like, I don't know, survive the semester, maybe. Yeah, that's my answer.
That's a good answer.
Yeah,
that'll do.
Yeah.
What NPC?
God.
I don't know the big one. Like, I don't have a player character. Second,
well. We could keep with Eshteros.
Eshteros, you've done.
Eshteros.
Or Hytroga. There's.
Yeah, so we don't have to stick to this campaign. We can get weird.
That's true. Like, what you feeling?
Essek.
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 Essek. No, I already see it.
Oh. Yeah, I feel it.
Yeah,
like
I already feel it.
I think it would be.
I'm curious.
A person that constantly sits around and mopes emotionally and needs support and help, but will never, ever, ever let anybody in to try and help them. The person that sits there and goes like, no, don't worry, I'm fine.
Oh, no, buddy.
Like, you want to talk about it? No.
Like, well, if you're going to be like this,
like, this is just
you really need to talk about this.
Does he label all of his food in the refrigerator?
Oh, wow.
He feels like a labeler.
He kind of feels like a labeler.
I think at the beginning of being roommates, no. But then them realizing that the food can get mixed up, then they start labeling everything. Because they're used to being on their own, and having a roommate is such a shift they don't necessarily like.
I know you've had my orange juice because I put the tape right at the level of the orange juice, and now it's lower, and I haven't had any orange juice.
That is, I've had that roommate.
Yep.
I know Essek would very much become that roommate. I look forward.
It's fine. It's fine. You can have the orange juice. I just wish you'd tell me.
And to be honest,
I just want you to know how much you're drinking of mine.
Yeah. I think Caleb probably fits in a similar category. So I think
I was
actually
say that they
live together pretty well. Yeah,
Caleb would be super passive aggressive. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, I think together they
so
they
well labeled.
Yeah.
It works.
Their whole
really
home
well.
Is going to be like the home edit.
Right, right.
Like everything's very organized. And like glass containers.
Matching glass containers. Yep.
My dream.
Like matching labels.
Yes.
The idea of like seeing Kayla in the background reading a book and Essex going through a box and just goes like, does this bring you joy?
Yes, yes.
thank you.
Oh. I want a whole fan fiction of that. Of them clearing clutter out of their home.
Yeah.
Thank you, Heliophage. Yes. I think I said that right. God only knows. Remember, if you have a thick and friendly question for us,
whoa,
you can enter your questions for the Tower of Inquiry at critroll.com/tower! Exclamation point.
Favorite kind of question.
Fake and friendly.
Mm-hmm. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break, but don't go too far because when we come back, we're going to be playing Code Names and probably mess around with you a little bit more. I don't know. We're going to talk to you about your Pokemon.
Yeah.
It's time for a break. Let's do a break.
Okay.
Let's do a break.
Woo. And break.
Popcorn time.
That's it for the podcast version of this episode of Foresighted Dive. In the video version, we wrap up each episode by playing some games, which don't always translate well to an audio-only format. Honestly, it's mostly yelling, truly. So be sure to check out the rest of the episode via the VOD for the full chaos. If you've enjoyed this deep dive into the campaign, be sure to drop us a rating and a review on whatever podcast platform you're using. Your thoughts may just encourage a new critter to take the plunge. Foresighted Dive airs the first Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. Pacific on twitch.tv/criticalrole and youtube.com/criticalrole, with the VOD available on YouTube the very next day. And of course, each episode releases right here on the Critical Role Podcast Network 1 week after the initial broadcast. We'll see you again next month. Bye-bye.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.